There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Friday. We've made it. Good news as we get ready for the boom boom downtown as the Mardi Gras season gets started in downtown Mobile tonight with the with Condi's, and that's 6:30 Parade Route A, not B C D G. Where are we? What did Steve tell us the other day? Steve Joint with Mobile Basket. I think we're at G. I think we're at Parade Route G out there. But no, this is a good old-fashioned Parade Route A that I do dearly love. A big fan of Parade Route A. If I had to choose a Parade Route, I'd always choose A. It's kind of where I am. All right, so that's tonight. Weather looks all right. It looks actually, well, it'd be cool. No real rain in the mix. I think I say cool in the 70s. Dr. Bill will update the forecast coming up at around 12:35. A lot of stuff to do on today's show. All right, so we're going to take you all over the place. Coming up in hour number two of the show, you may be talking about this. Maybe people at work are talking about this. Maybe kinfolk are talking about this. A CBD oil. CBD oil, is it legal? What makes CBD oil versus what makes, what's marijuana, what's hemp, what's CBD oil? Who's treated with it? How does it work? Is it legal? All those kind of questions we're going to get into in hour number two. Terry Breitung from Azalea City Hand and Rehab and Physical Therapy and Jennifer Atkins joins us. Join us in hour number two. We'll talk with them all things CBD in hour number two of the show. This hour, we're also going to catch up with a conversation that happened right at the end of Mobile Mornings. As we were talking about, hinging off the story that KRG and a lot of others ran out there about the toll for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge also applying to the Wallace Tunnel. That this is going to be a toll on all I-10 east and westbound going across the Bayway. All right. And then there's some, you know, parts of it where you're talking about you can get on halfway, or get off halfway and not pay the full toll, which is still between $3 and $6. And by the way, the bridge looks like it's not done till 2025. I'm not saying I could build it faster. I'm saying we have a little while to discuss this. But a toll is a thing, and a toll on both the tunnel and the bridge. That's the thing that caught a lot of people unaware, even though the folks from ALDOT said, hey, we rolled this out beforehand. Well, they're going to join us again on the show. They talked with us right there at the end of the of Mobile Mornings. But coming up in the second half of this hour, we'll get back into that conversation. And if you've got some questions there, Matt Erickson, ALDOT Project Director, and Allison Gregg, ALDOT Public Information Officer, will join us in the second half of this hour. All right, so that's happening in just about 25, 30 minutes. Right now, I want to get to the president, as the president has, if you have not heard, has now declared the emergency. Now, you've got a couple things going on here. President signing the spending bill, the budget bill, all right, signs that, getting $1.3 billion out of that, obviously nowhere near the 5.7 he was asking for, gets $1.3 billion that can be used to build wall, fence, barrier, whatever, 55 miles of that. Now, this move to get the rest of the money by using the executive branch's arguable ability to declare emergency. There's no way, actually, it's not arguable. Executive branch can declare an emergency. It's just, does this meet the test and the limits of what you would declare an emergency about? That's probably the next part of this. But first, let's get into President Trump from just about an hour ago and his discussion about declaring this emergency.
Before we begin, I'd like to just say that we have a large team of very talented people in China. We've had a negotiation going on for about 2 days. It's going extremely well. Who knows what that means, because it only matters if we get it done, but we're very much working very closely with China and President Xi, who I respect a lot. Very good relationship that we have. And we're a lot closer than we ever were in this country with having a real trade deal. We're covering everything, all of the points that people have been talking about for years that said couldn't be done, whether it was theft or anything. The unfairness. We've been losing, on average, $375 billion a year with China. A lot of people think it's $506 billion. Some people think it's much more than that. We're going to be leveling the playing field. The tariffs are hurting China very badly. They don't want them, and frankly, if we can make the deal, it'd be my honor to remove them. But otherwise, we're having many billions of dollars pouring into our treasury. We've never had that before with China. It's been very much of a one-way street. So that's happening, and the relationship with China is very good, but I think they finally respect our country. They haven't respected us for a long time. Not for a long time. The UK and the US, as you probably have been seeing and hearing, we're agreeing to go forward and preserve our trade agreement. You know all of the situation with respect to Brexit and the complexity and the problems, but we have a very good trading relationship with UK, and that's just been strengthened further. So with the UK, we're continuing our trade, and we are going to actually be increasing it very substantially as time goes by. We expect that the UK will be very, very substantially increased as it relates to trade with the United States. The relationship there also is very good. We have a lot of great announcements having to do with Syria and our success with the eradication of the caliphate. And that'll be announced over the next 24 hours, and many other things. A lot of positive things are going on. We're working on a summit, and you know all about the summit. It'll be in Vietnam, Hanoi, and we'll be meeting in Hanoi. I think a lot of you will be going, I suspect. And I hope we have the same good luck as we had in the first summit. A lot was done in the first summit. No more rockets going up, no more missiles going up, no more testing of nuclear. Get back our remains, the remains of our great heroes from the Korean War. And we got back our hostages. But we hope we're going to be very much equally as successful. I'm in no rush for speed. We just don't want testing. The sanctions, as you know, remain. Everything is remaining. China's been helping us. And Russia's been helping us. And South Korea, I think you can say, has been, we've been working very closely with South Korea, with Japan. But China, Russia on the border have really been at least partially living up to what they're supposed to be doing. And that's okay, as per the United Nations. So we will have a meeting on the 27th and 28th of February. And I think that will be a very successful one. I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim. We have also established a very good relationship, which has never happened between him or his family in the United States. They have really taken advantage of the United States. Billions of dollars has been paid to them. And we won't let that happen, but we think that North Korea and Chairman Kim have a tremendous potential as an economic force, economic power. Their location between South Korea and then Russia and China, right smack in the middle, is phenomenal. And we think they have a great chance for tremendous economic prosperity in the future. So I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim in Vietnam. Today, I'm announcing several critical actions that my administration is taking to confront a problem that we have right here at home. We fight wars that are 6,000 miles away, wars that we should have never been in many cases, but we don't control our own border. So we're going to confront the national security crisis on our southern border, and we're going to do it one way or the other. We have to do it. Not because it was a campaign promise, which it is. It was one of many, by the way, not my only one. We're rebuilding the military. Our economy is thriving like never before. You look at other economies, they're doing terribly, and we're doing phenomenally. The market is up tremendously today. Not that that's anything, but, you know, because I'll go back in and they'll say, oh, the market just went down. But the market is getting close to the new highs that we created. We have all the records. We have every record, but we're getting close to that point again where we'll create new records. So our country is doing very well economically, and we've done a lot. But one of the things I said I have to do and I want to do is border security, because we have tremendous amounts of drugs flowing into our country, much of it coming from the southern border. When you look and when you listen to politicians, in particular certain Democrats, they say it all comes through the port of entry. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's just a lie. It's all a lie. They say walls don't work. Walls work 100%. Whether it's El Paso, I really was smiling because the other night I was in El Paso. We had a tremendous crowd. And And I asked the people, many of whom were from El Paso, but they came from all over Texas. And I asked them, I said, let me ask you, as a crowd, when the wall went up, was it better? You were there, some of you. It was not only better, it was like 100% better. You know what they did. But that's only one example. There are so many examples. In El Paso, they have close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall. And they had 23 murders. It's a lot of murders. But it's not close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall in Mexico. So everyone knows that walls work, and there are better examples than El Paso, frankly. You just take a look almost everywhere. Take a look at Israel. They're building another wall. Their wall is 99.9% effective, they told me. 99.9%. That's what it would be with us, too. The only weakness is they go to a wall and then they go around the wall. They go around the wall and in. Okay? That's what it is. Very simple. And a big majority of the big drugs, the big drug loads, don't go through ports of entry. They can't go through ports of entry. You can't take big loads because you have people. We have some very capable people, the Border Patrol, law enforcement, looking. You can't take human traffic, women and girls. You can't take them through ports of entry. You can't have them tied up in the back seat of a car or a truck or a van. They open the door. They look. They can't see three women with tape in their mouth or three women whose hands are tied. They go through areas where you have no wall. Everybody knows that. Nancy knows it. Chuck knows it. They all know it. It's all a big lie. It's a big con game. You don't have to be very smart to know. You put up a barrier, the people come in, and that's it. They can't do anything unless they walk left or right and they find an area where there's no barrier and they come into the United States. Welcome. We've detained more people. Our border agents are doing such incredible work. Our military has been incredible. We put up barbed wire on top of certain old walls that were there. We fixed the wall and we loaded up with barbed wire. It's very successful. But our military has been fantastic, and I want to thank them. And it's very necessary. We've broken up two caravans that are on their way. They just are breaking. They're in the process of breaking up. We have another one that we haven't been able to break up yet. We've been actually working with Mexico much better than ever before. I want to thank the president. I want to thank Mexico. They have their own problems. They have the largest number of murders that they've ever had in their history. Almost 40,000 murders. 40,000. And they got to straighten that out, and I think they will. But I just want to thank the president because he's been helping us with these monstrous caravans that have been coming up. We had one that was up to over 15,000 people. It's largely broken up.
All right, we'll get right back to comments from the president. You hear the announcement here, a emergency declaration, and making his move, making his case once again about the value of a wall. We'll get more from this when we return right after a quick news break right here on Bidet Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, well, actually, let's do this. Let's get back to the president and his emergency declaration here on Midday Mobile. Also, bridge toll talk coming up.
With Mexico, much better than ever before. I want to thank the president. I want to thank Mexico. They have their own problems. They have the largest number of murders that they've ever had in their history. Almost 40,000 murders. 40,000! And they got to straighten that out, and I think they will. But I just want to thank the president because he's been helping us with these monstrous caravans that have been coming up. We had one that was up to over 15,000 people. It's largely broken up. Others have gotten through. And in Tijuana, you have a lot of people staying there. If we didn't have the wall up and if we didn't have the wall secured and strengthened, they would have walked right through. They'd be welcome to the United States. One of the things we'd save a tremendous amount on would be sending the military. If we had a wall, we don't need the military because we'd have a wall. So I'm going to be signing a national emergency. And it's been signed many times before. It's been signed by other presidents. From 1977 or so, it gave the presidents the power. There's rarely been a problem. They sign it. Nobody cares. I guess they weren't very exciting. But nobody cares. They sign it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases. We're talking about an invasion of our country with drugs, with human traffickers, with all types of criminals and gangs. We have some of the greatest people I know. They've been with me from the beginning of my campaign, almost from the first week, the Angel Moms. Unfortunately, we have new Angel Moms. One incredible woman just showed me her daughter who we're talking about killed in the year of 18. I said, I haven't seen you before. She said, no, I'm new. I said, that's too bad. It's too bad. It's so sad. Stand up just for a second. Show how beautiful your girl was. Thank you. I have such respect for these people. Angel moms, angel dads, angel families. I have great respect for these people. These are great people. These are great people. They're fighting for their children that have been killed by people that were illegally in this country. And the press doesn't cover them. They don't want to, incredibly. And they're not treated the way they should be. They're fighting for other people because they don't want what happened to their children or husband or anybody. We have one young lady whose husband, please, stand up. Your husband was just killed in Maryland. Incredible man, just killed. Beautiful children won't be seeing their father again. These are brave people. These are people that are, they don't have to be here. They don't have to be doing this. They're doing it for other people. So I just want to thank all of you for being here. Okay, I really do. I want to thank you, incredible people. Last year, 70,000 Americans were killed, at least. I think the number is ridiculously low. By drugs, including meth and heroin and cocaine, fentanyl. Now, one of the things that I did with President Xi in China when I met him in Argentina at a summit, before I even started talking about the trade, it was a trade meeting. It went very well, but before I talked about trade, I talked about something more important. I said, listen, we have tremendous amounts of fentanyl coming into our country, kills tens of thousands of people. I think far more than anybody registers.
and I'd love you to declare it a lethal drug and put it on your criminal list. And their criminal list is much tougher than our criminal list. Their criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called the death penalty. Our criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called, how about a fine? And when I asked President Xi, I said, do you have a drug problem? No, no, no. I said, you have 1.4 billion people. What do you mean you have no drug problem? No, we don't have a drug problem. I said, why? Death penalty. We give death penalty to people that sell drugs. End of problem. What do? We set up a blue ribbon committees. Lovely men and women. They sit around a table, they have lunch, they eat, they dine, and they waste a lot of time. So if we want to get smart, we can get smart. You can end the drug problem. You can end it a lot faster than you think. But President Xi's agreed to put fentanyl on his list of deadly, deadly drugs. And it's a criminal penalty, and the penalty is death. So that's frankly one of the things I'm most excited about in our trade deal. I want to know the truth. I think maybe there's no more important point. We're going to make billions of dollars with this trade deal. It's going to be great for our country and great for China, I hope. Their market's down close to 40%. Our market's way up.
All right. Coming right back, more of the president's comments here on the emergency declaration. Check in with Westwood One News. Get Dr. Bill's forecast straight ahead, plus the discussion about tolls on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and the Wallace Tunnel. Yeah, both of them. We'll talk to folks from Aldot coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile Friday style. So much going on. Yeah, we're going to get a little bit more from the president's address from about an hour and change ago about the emergency declaration and his reasoning there for doing it. Of course, already pushback from the Democrats. That's not anything surprising on that. That's kind of just everybody playing their part in Washington. But we'll get a little more from the president. And then at the end of the hour, a follow-up conversation hinging off of what happened this morning when we were talking about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, tolling for the bridge, also tolling for the tunnel. And we'll be talking to folks from Aldot coming up at the end of this hour, so get ready for that. I want you all to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins, because if you forgot to gift yesterday, you're gonna have to buy several things today to make up for it, Angelo.
Yeah, you certainly are. Yeah, anybody that was foolish enough to forget that yesterday was a pretty important holiday for the ladies out there, you got to come by the shop and check out the jewelry, check out the coins. And now the good news is you may have to buy multiple gifts if you forgot, but you're going to walk away thinking you only bought one, because the pricing is that good here. You're going to be able to pick up 2, 3, 4, sometimes even 5 different items for what you would have paid for one of those items in those big box stores.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that before, and I've done this, whether it be jewelry items or like those Opinel knives, come in and be looking to buy one, but the price point, I ended up getting 2 or 3 of the items, and I put them in the sock drawer, although I got to move them now because the family's heard that, but I put them in the sock drawer, and then when it's time to give a gift and I've forgotten to do something, I'm like, let me go to the vault there and get something out.
Exactly. It's a great way to plan ahead and be prepared. We've even had some people coming in now that come in on a regular basis just to check out the new selection, and when they see something that they like, they go ahead and buy it, not knowing when they're going to gift it, but knowing they've got it covered when something comes up.
That's awesome. Tell folks how they can come see you, check out the inventory, and you also do it online.
Oh, we certainly do. We're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can follow us on Facebook. Just like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there, or check out our new website at mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins, and let's get right back to the president.
But I want it to be good for China, and I want it to be good for the United States. So we'll see what happens. China's coming here next week, by the way. They're coming home, the traders. And then China's coming here next week. And then I'll be meeting with President Xi at some point after that to maybe for some remaining deals. We'll make them directly, one-on-one ourselves. So we're going to be signing today and registering national emergency. And it's a great thing to do because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people, and it's unacceptable. And by signing the national emergency, something signed many times by other presidents, many, many times, President Obama, in fact, we may be using one of the national emergencies that he signed having to do with cartels, criminal cartels. It's a very good emergency that he signed, and we're going to use parts of it in our dealings on cartels. So that would be a second national emergency, but in that case, it's already in place. And what we really want to do is simple. It's not like it's complicated. It's very simple. We want to stop drugs from coming into our country. We want to stop criminals and gangs from coming into our country. Nobody's done the job that we've ever done. I mean, nobody's done the job that we've done on the border. And in a way, what I did by creating such a great economy, and if the opposing party got in, this economy would be down the tubes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, but maybe the previous administration. Let me tell you, the previous administration, it was heading south and it was going fast. We would have been down the tubes. The regulations were strangling our country. Unnecessary regulations. By creating such a strong economy, you just look at your televisions or see what's going on today, it's through the roof. What happens is more people want to come. So we have far more people trying to get into our country today than probably we've ever had before. And we've done an incredible job in stopping them, but it's a massive number of people. If we had the wall, it would be very easy. We would make up for the cost of the wall just at the cost of the fact that I would be able to have fewer people. We wouldn't need all of this incredible talent, some of whom are sitting in the first row. You wouldn't need all of this incredible talent. We would get thousands of law enforcement people, including Border Patrol. You put them in different areas. You have them doing different things. Law enforcement and Border Patrol. And I want to thank law enforcement, and I want to thank Border Patrol, and I want to thank ICE. ICE is abused by the press and by the Democrats. And by the way, we're going to be taking care of ICE. You know, we talk about the new bill. We're going to be taking care of ICE. They wanted to get rid of ICE. And the bill is just the opposite of that. A lot of good things happen. So that's the story. We want to have a safe country. I ran on a very simple slogan, make America great again. If you're going to have drugs pouring across the border, if you're going to have human traffickers pouring across the border in areas where we have no protection, in areas where we don't have a barrier, then
all right, that's President Trump announcing that he will.
There we go. So there it is, as we kind of get an idea of this emergency declaration, as the president making his case here on the reason, of course, that you heard it at the Westwood One News update there. One of the issues is that he said he didn't need to do it, and that's something that the Democrats have already latched onto. If he, why he would say he didn't need to do it, but he's doing it, maybe that's the Achilles heel. Of course, this will be, I mean, even though it hasn't come out yet, there will be a lawsuit brought forward. This will go into the courts. I mean, this is just what's going to happen in this case. So prepare yourselves for that. In other words, it should be a while before this. It's going to be like anything else, right? It's the subject comes up, then there's a lawsuit brought, then it goes into the courts. I don't know if they'll be able to fast track this or not, but it still will not be something that will be done immediately. So I guess what my best guess is, we're going to be dealing with the $1.3 billion out of the budget, the spending bill that will be used for building, as best I hear, is 55 miles of wall. All right. When we come back, we're talking with folks from ALDOT, and we're talking about the tolling on not only the I-10 Mobile River Bridge projected, but also the Wallace Tunnel. So I-10, if you're on I-10, you're going to be paying a toll. Also, a reminder, another great weekend ahead. Time to stop by Cottage Hill Package and get your Get your spirits, wine, craft beers. It's Mardi Gras time. So if you're going to celebrate with some beverages, make sure to go and see the Manis family. They're waiting for you right now. They had another great event last night with Kettle One. They've got a Cross-Eyed Owl Brewing, their free tasting event coming up next week. If you go on their website, cottagehillpackage.com, or like them on Facebook, you can see all the updates on their events. They're always doing these special events like Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, and then, of course, open Monday through Sunday. Go see them in person at Cottage Hill Package and get the gear you need to get out and celebrate the Boom Boom and the Mardi Gras parties maybe at your house. Cottage Hill Package, check them out. And if you're a cigar fan, I've heard, I've actually gone and bought gift cigars there. The humidor, the biggest in town. The big one. So if you're looking for thousands of labels, thousands of cigars, you're looking to Cottage Hill Package. Once again, check them out in person, Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them on Facebook. It's Cottage Hill Package. We're coming right back, and we're talking tolls.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And to continue a conversation we had started at the end of the 8 o'clock hour on Mobile Mornings, I want to pick this back up, and we are talking about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and the tolls, how they will work, where they will apply to, and how much, and when this all happens. Great to have Allison Gregg with LDOT and Matt Erickson, LDOT Project Director, joining me again. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so let's get the to those that have been under a rock and have not paid attention to this point. The project getting ready to start this year. The dirt is going to be moved. We're working forward. When do y'all with LDOT expect us to have? When do I get to drive across the bridge?
We will. We anticipate construction being complete in 2025.
Okay, so 2025, I get to load up the Sullivan family. We head across the bridge. Then, in the meantime, we're discussing how this is paid for, and this is something we've talked about in the past on the show, but this is a combined effort from multiple entities to make this happen.
Correct. Because the project is approximately $2 billion, LDOT is being proactive and actually looking at different ways to finance the project, and that includes grants, loans, activity bonds, and then also developing a public-private partnership, a P3, and that will help us deliver the project in a timely manner. When we look at traffic on the I-10 corridor between Mobile and Baldwin counties, it's growing every day. Just earlier this week, there was a backup on one of the mornings that a lot of folks were stuck in traffic on both the Causeway and the Bayway for almost an hour. And so this is by doing the funding this way, it allows us to deliver the project in a timely manner.
Okay, so in doing this, it kind of break it down. So we have private capital coming in. They're going to, I guess, go borrow the money or come up with the money on their own to pay for these things. What is LDOT's role? Are you in there as part of the construction? Are you in there making sure that it's built properly? I mean, what, like day in and day out during this project, what will LDOT folks be doing?
Yeah, so we'll still oversee the construction. We're developing the specifications and documents that the private concessionaire will have to abide to. So LDOT will still have an active role, but as you said, the state and the federal government do not have the funds to fund this mega project, so we're having to rely on the private sector to help us with the funding and financing of this.
Okay, so like as an analog, it's like a private individual getting a house built. I mean, that's what y'all's role is. You've got the plans that are drawn up, and this private entity they're the contractor, right?
Yes, and they're designing it, they're building it, they're financing it, and then they'll have the long-term operation and maintenance period.
Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about, Matt, I hadn't thought about the maintenance. So when this is done, and let's say down the road there's potholes or whatever, it has to be fixed. Is it a state crew or one of the concessionaire's crews doing the work?
It'll be the concessionaire's crew.
Huh.
That will be heavily involved, and they will have performance measures that we will ensure that they maintain.
Okay, so now let's get to what has so many people talking this morning, although I pointed out that this has not been new. I was looking back through my emails and conversations. The subject of tolling has been around for quite a long time. I think what caught people off guard is that we were surprised that it was not going to just apply to the bridge, but also I-10 all over. So if you go the Wallace Tunnel or you go the bridge, both of those would be tolled.
Yes, that's correct. The I-10 Mobile River Bridge will be tolled, and Wallace Tunnel will also have to be tolled. If you didn't toll Wallace, you would have a large majority that would get off of I-10, divert through the Wallace Tunnel. We would still have our congestion issue. So to have a feasible project, you have to toll Wallace Tunnel also.
Okay, so would that tolling, maybe the drawing's done on it, would that toll place, wherever the camera, because y'all said earlier this morning, don't think toll booth, this is going to be toll by plate. Is that going to be somewhere back around Virginia Street and where on the Eastern Shore?
Sure. So the a new word to start using in our vocabulary is gantry, the toll gantry. That will be the mechanism that goes across the roadway that actually has the transponder readers, so folks can have transponders in their car, and then they will also have cameras, so they'll be taking pictures of your license plate. So there's a few options for paying your toll. The exact location of those gantries, that will come out in final design, which we will reach once we select the concessionaire for this project.
All right. What about the, again, a lot of people had asked questions this morning about this as well, that the rate, and you said that still hadn't, it was between $3 and $6, and there's a couple different things that, you know, number one, if you don't travel the whole route, it's not as much if you get off halfway or get on halfway, but also people asking, is there a discount for locals? Does it matter where you're from going forward? Would you pay less if you're going across every day as much as a tourist would, or is it going to be the same?
So ALDOT is committed to implementing a frequent user discount for the project. So folks who drive from Baldwin to Mobile County on a regular basis, they will be able to receive a frequent user discount.
Okay, so there will be something here for somebody who is, say, I got to go across the Bayway every day. I got customers there. I live over here. That's going to be taken into account.
Absolutely. There's a lot of us, and I am a cross-county person as well, so there's a lot of folks that I know that are driving back and forth at least 20 to 40 times a month, and so we want to make sure that we are offering that discount for them.
If people are looking for, I guess, more information on this, go to the ALDOT website, or will the concessionaire have a website up? Where will be the go-to source for as this project goes forward from this year through 2025?
So we actually have a project website, mobileriverbridge.com, easy and memorable. It's up there, and we update it with project information. It has a lot of information about tolling and the project development as well.
Now, y'all had said this morning, we're talking about the span of this project. It would be 55 years. Is that what we're looking at?
Yes, that's the duration of the concession period.
All right, so the toll will be somewhere between $3 and $6, right? And then that will be the toll going forward for 55 years, or will they have the option of raising that or in the future, or is that set when it finally comes to a certain price?
Those are some of the details that we're still working out, whether there'll be an index for inflation. We are planning to have another public hearing on this as we work to finalize these details on the tolling plan.
What about the you mentioned that if you did leave I-10 in the Wallace Tunnel untold, you would have people diverting or leakage, as you said, from around the bridge. But that's going to be true to some degree with somebody going, hey, they have some local knowledge, they're going to go down, take the Bankhead Tunnel and take the Causeway. Do you think there's going to be additional traffic beyond what it is right now on places like the Causeway and the Bankhead, and will that cause more issues for y'all with ALDOT keeping those roads up?
Yeah, for sure. With any new toll facility, you have to look at the route that would be used as free bypasses. So ALDOT is looking at what's going to happen to the Causeway with more traffic on it and Bankhead. So we're in the process of looking at that increased traffic.
And I know this question doesn't apply to most people listening, but it's not every day I have folks like y'all on to ask questions. You know, the tunnel, they can't take hazardous material, or I don't know the exact definition, through the Wallace Tunnel, so the big trucks using that come over the Cochrane. With the new bridge, would those trucks be able to go over the new bridge, or will they still be stuck going over the Cochrane?
Oh, that's one of the benefits with the bridge, that we will not have a hazmat detour through the city anymore. They will be able to utilize the new bridge.
All right. And one last question here with the bridge height. I know we talked about this many times when the first renderings were out and second and third renderings were out. You know, part of the big story here in the Port of Mobile is the deepening and widening of the Panama Canal, the push for these big super tankers coming into the Port of Mobile, deepening the channel. Does that go into, has that been taken into account? Is that the height of the bridge to accommodate those ships, or will that have to be changed?
Yes, that's a great point. And ALDOT committed years ago, working with the port and the city, that we would build a structure that would not have a negative impact on increased ships and the Carnival cruise lines as such. So that is the reason the bridge is set at an elevation of 215 feet. And this bridge will be one of the largest cable stay bridges in North America.
Okay. A cable stay, mean, does that look like the Golden Gate? Is that a cable stay, or what is that?
Cochrane Bridge is a cable
stay. Okay.
Bridge. You know, this will have a different design. We're looking at the aesthetics of it to make sure it's aesthetically pleasing. But it's similar to that. The Golden Gate is a suspension.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of the aesthetics of it, I mean, I knew y'all were taking a lot into account when I saw, I don't know how many years ago, y'all rolled out the shadow map of the bridge. I said, now, there's something I would not have thought of, where the shadow is set for the bridge in downtown.
That's right. Yeah. We looked at all those impacts, mainly because, like I just said, due to the height of this bridge.
All right. Well, there's going to be a lot more questions going forward, but I sure appreciate y'all joining me today and filling in some more information. Allison and Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Allison, Greg, ALDOT PIO and Project Director with ALDOT, Matt Erickson, joining us right here on the Midday Mobile.